Coming up next on the Community Connection, I speak with Paulina Milana. Paulina is embarking on her latest book, Committed, A Memoir of Madness in the Family. She's an author, speaker, podcaster, and founder of Madness to Magic. Her mission is to share stories that celebrate the triumph of the human spirit and to unleash the power that lies within each of us to bring about change for the better. Paulina has won awards for her writing, including her first book, The S Word, which received the National Indie Excellence Award, her self-help picture book for adults, Seriously, Are We There Yet?, and her holiday fiction novel, Miracle on Mall Drive. That's coming up on the Community Connection, right after a word from our sponsors. Get the good stuff. Spring is battery season at Napa. Stop by our locations in Fairfield, Wayne City, and Carmi for smoking deals on lawnmower, golf cart, and marine batteries. Lawnmower batteries start at $23.99. Golf cart batteries start at $99.99. And marine batteries start at $73.99. Ready to start spring cleaning? We have pressure washers with a Honda motor on sale for $359.99. Come get some Napa know-how and save today.
Napa, get the good stuff.
At Taco Tierra, bean burritos and piggyback tacos, along with cheese quesadillas and chicken quesadillas, are on sale today and every Wednesday at Taco Tierra in Fairfield, Mount Carmel, and Princeton. Add a little spice to your life at Taco Tierra. Join us each weekday at 7:50 and shortly after the 8 o'clock news on Saturday morning for the latest on the local auction scene. Auction Time informs you of unique items on the block in our region. We give you the headline items during the week, then actually get into the details with the area auctioneers as part of our Saturday program. That's Auction Time, weekdays at 7:50 a.m., a part of our WFIW morning show, then again each Saturday morning after the 8 o'clock news on WFIW 104.9 and WFIWradio.com. Did you know that North American Lighting, located in Flora, Illinois, is the largest exterior automotive lighting manufacturer in North America, building high-tech headlights and taillights for major auto brands? You can become part of their team by applying online at NAL.com today. NAL operators earn $17 per hour plus shift differential, paid vacation, 401k, and the security of highly rated health plans. NAL has immediate employment opportunities on second and third shift. Visit NAL.com or their Facebook page to learn more about NAL's job opportunities. And it's time again for the Community Connection right here on WFIW AM 1390, 103.3 FM. I'm your host, Jeremy Smith. Joining me today, Paulina Milana. Paulina is an author, amongst other things, and she's written a great new book called Committed, A Memoir of Madness in the Family. Paulina, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy.
So tell me what got you into the desire for writing this book. What was it that influenced you to go out and write a book about mental illness?
Well, we need to define that word desire, because for me, I didn't want to do it. I have four books out. This one is the sequel to my first book. And this one tells the story of my mother being diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, my father dying, and then my little sister also being diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, and I am left to be their primary caregiver. This, these books, it's not a desire, or some people have said, oh, how courageous to write it. I was compelled to tell the story. Compelled because it's a story that I wish I could say it's just unique to me, but there are so many people suffering out there with mental illness, mental health issues, and I wanted to make what I went through something that had bigger meaning. So that's kind of why I went down this road.
You know, mental illness and mental health issues are something that touch all of us in some way or another, even if we don't realize it. And of course, this is May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month, which makes this an even better topic for today's episode. I know myself, I've had some issues in the past with family members that have had mental health issues, and it can prove to be a challenging thing to lead a normal day-to-day life. What was it like for you growing up in that scenario? And what was some of the things you took from your experiences to help you better your mental health?
Yeah, so Great question. And I am, you know, my heart goes out to you and anyone who has mental illness in their family. I am learning as I put these books out that there are so many more of us. It's just that it's still kind of something that we keep in the closet. You know, we're ashamed of it. We don't kind of let it out. There's a stigma attached to it. There is no normal life, so to speak. When I was growing up, it was pretty challenging. My mother, it is, and this was the late 70s, early 80s, but when I was about 10, my mom started to exhibit just strange behaviors, answering to things that weren't there, to voices, seeing things that weren't there. She had paranoid schizophrenia, which made her kind of fearful, rageful. She thought that her family was trying to kill her. So her response was kill or be killed. And that meant everything from keeping baseball bats and knives under the bed, threatening us in the middle of the night, just screaming. And we were, you know, we were school age. There were four of us kids. And the next morning we just had to go to school. And because we were Sicilian, first generation, there was a tendency to keep everything in the family. You know, la cosa nostra, what happens in the family stays in the family. So that was challenging in and of itself. My younger sister then had her own psychotic break when she was in her early 20s. And with her, she too was paranoid schizophrenic, but she was much more delusions of grandeur. So it was very challenging to have to be primary caregiver to the two of them when one was so rageful, the other one was, it was almost kind of a comedy routine. I remember once going into a, she was in a lockdown facility, my little sister, and I went in to see her and she handed me a book and I said, what's this? And she said, oh, I wrote this. And when I looked down, it was the Holy Bible. And so I said, oh, catchy title. I mean, it was a challenge to actually navigate and really be adaptable to whatever was going on and to not lose yourself. So when you say those experiences and what they kind of taught me or what I took from them, quite a few things. One is you must take care of yourself. That whole thing when you get into the airline and they tell you put your oxygen mask on before you help someone else. That is so true because I nearly lost myself in trying to keep it secret, trying to help them. I couldn't see a way out. I felt as if I was living a life of obligation because I wasn't taking care of myself. The other thing too that I learned, just as we say, you know, someone has a disability, a physical disability, it doesn't mean that they are disabled across the board. It's just one or two things or whatever that they do have a disability with. Same thing with mental illness. We seem to think that if someone has a mental illness, it's all black and white. That's all they are. I kept my mother at arm's length. And I talk about this now because Mother's Day is on the horizon. But I kept her at arm's length because I was afraid to catch what she had. And I only viewed her in terms of her mental illness. I learned later in life, thank God, before she passed away, just how alike we were and how incredible she was and how much fun she was and how much we had in common. So for people who are dealing with a family member, a loved one who has a mental illness, my two definite takeaways, one, take care of yourself first because you will be stronger to be able to take care of them. And two, just embrace all of them, who they are. Don't keep them at arm's length, because mental illness is not the only thing they are, and you will be missing out on so much more of who they are and how compatible you can be.
You know, growing up in a situation like you were in, where you had a mother and a sister both battling with these, for a lack of better terms, demons, and having to go through as caretaker watching over them while still trying to maintain a functionable semblance of life of your own. How much did the mindset creep in on you that, oh no, I might be next?
Oh boy. That was pretty constant. When we were going through it with my mom and I was, you know, grammar school, early high school years, they had told us at that time, don't worry, it's not hereditary. And something in me was like, I want to make sure. And I did my own kind of research to find out that while it's not hereditary, children of schizophrenics are something like 25 to 50% more likely to inherit those genes. And often it has to be triggered by something. But I didn't want to take any chances. I prayed every night for God not to make me like my mother. And I prayed for my 30th birthday to come sooner rather than later, because schizophrenia generally shows up in your 20s. Now, that didn't happen with my mom, but it did with my little sister. And I thought, if I could just get to 30, I will be safe. So yeah, it's a very scary thing. In my case, not only was it scary, and then to have my little sister get it, and this sounds terrible to share, but on one hand, it was a relief because I thought, oh, good. You know, schizophrenia is happy. It chose somebody and it wasn't me. So on one hand, there were those thoughts. And on the other, I felt so horrible that to watch my little sister, who I in great part raised, suffer in such a way. And there's nothing that really you can do. There just isn't. So I hope that answers kind of the question of the demons, because you are right. That's a great word for it. And you don't even know when it's coming. There were days when they were both, you know, okay. And you're thinking, all right, you know, we've turned a corner. They're stable on their meds, but it's a never ending, you know, challenge.
I'm sure it is a never ending challenge, especially whenever it's double fold there, having two in the same time frame, that has to tear at you very, very much. Mm-hmm. Now, being from the Midwest, I know that you had a background in journalism first. Mm-hmm. So you started out telling other people's stories. Now you've transitioned to telling your own story. What are some of the unique challenges of making that transition?
Oh, you know what? For me, there wasn't so much of a challenge, you know, because of the type of stories. So I had said, you know, I have four books out. Two of them are memoir, two are not. One is a Christmas fiction novel and the other is a children's book for adults. It's called Seriously, Are We There Yet? Because as adults, we're always kind of like, why am I not there yet? Why aren't I walking the red carpet? Why don't I have $1 million? So I wrote with my husband a very Dr. Seussie kind of book, and it's done very well. But on this and kind of telling your own stories, when I was doing feature stories for the Daily Herald newspaper, I interviewed some incredible people, and what I loved most were their stories of trials to triumph. That's what I was drawn to. And I was celebrating them. When you write your own stories, the challenge that does come in is you're digging up your past. You are revisiting whatever came before and what made you, but you're revisiting it from where you sit today. And where you sit today is a very different place. It's a place where more time has passed. You have more perspective. Hopefully you have a little more wisdom. And so when you look back, there's a tendency to judge yourself, to kind of be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we did that. Oh, I should have said this. Oh, how horrible was I? And that is the challenge, because you know, I love the quote from Maya Angelou, who says, you know, we did what we knew how to do then. Now we know better, so we do better. And when, you know, this is my advice. I'm a writing coach. So anyone who works with me, I really stress the fact of you need to approach your book, if you're doing memoir, as if it's not even you. You need to approach your book separating who you were then, because it was a different person, from who you are now. And really don't, you know, forget the judgment, forget all of that, because it doesn't serve the story well.
That is great advice. I can't say that I've ever heard it put any better than that right there.
Thank you.
The taboo of dealing with mental illness issues, whether it be in the self or in the family unit, or even just in an everyday relationship outside of the family unit, can put a strain on anybody. And this, well, like I said, taboo of not wanting to discuss these things can lead to even more damage psychologically. What would you say to someone who's struggling with those roadblocks? They know they're listening right now. They're thinking, hey, this is me. What would you say to that person to alleviate some of that self-consciousness and allow them to deal with their issues?
Oh, great question. So to anybody who's listening, who's thinking, oh, wait a minute, this is me, or this sounds like a family member, or you know what, this sounds like a colleague or a friend, know that you're not alone at all. There are more of us than not. And yeah, it is still kind of taboo. Yeah, it is. There is a stigma still attached to it. But the only way that is going to be overcome is by telling people, sharing your story. Silence suffocates. It's ironic because this book of mine, Committed, A Memoir of Madness in the Family, while, yes, I have a mother and I have a sister, both of whom are clinically diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenics, the one who ends up being the danger in the book is me. And I'm not diagnosed, but I have fallen into such a bunny hole, and I try to keep it all secret because I don't want to be associated, and it's very taboo, and I'm trying to be, you know, normal and be able to take care of it all. And in doing so, I nearly lose myself, and I nearly go down the path of suicide and taking out my mother and sister with me. So to anyone listening, just tell your story. Don't feel that shame. I mean, you will feel that shame, but the more that you talk about it, the more that goes away. It is keeping it a secret that actually does us in. There's actually a favorite quote of mine from D.H. Lawrence, who wrote Lady Chatterley's Lover, and it's this. It says, "This is the very worst wickedness, that we refuse to acknowledge the passionate evil that is in us. This makes us secret and rotten. The more that we try to pretend that nothing's wrong, the more that we try to pretend that somebody is all good or all bad, or, you know, that you're either virgin or whore, predator or prey, the more that we do that, instead of embracing that we all have a bit of crazy in us that needs to kind of be managed or channeled, the more that we ourselves suffer, and the more that the world suffers because we're not authentically sharing the fact that we're all the same and we all have it in us. We need to embrace it. So again, that, you know, let go of that shame. Let go of the taboo that comes with it. Start sharing the stories. I bet you, once you do, you will find out that your neighbors, your friends, others are dealing with the same thing. And wow, what a gift you're giving to other people by sharing your story.
That is an amazing outlook all the way around. And I hope that somewhere out there listening right now is someone that just took that advice to heart, because that could be some of the best words of wisdom that our listeners hear today. I know personally, living with a family member who went through a traumatic event in their 20s and it sparked some mental illness issues. I used to liken it to Dickens. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was almost a duality of man in one man. So for someone to step out of themselves and actually share their own experiences in a way that can help heal others, I applaud you for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
In the last couple of minutes we have here in our interview, let our listeners know how they can find you, how they can find information on you, and how they can find your book. Because I'm sure there are more than one listener out there right now that would love to pick up a copy of Committed, A Memoir of Madness in the Family.
Absolutely. I welcome everyone to kind of hop on to my website. It's www.madnesstomagic.com. You'll find a whole bunch of information there about me, about the story, about getting the book. Again, madnesstomagic.com. You also can hop on, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The book is available everywhere. And I also would like to share, if anyone is struggling, there's a great organization called NAMI, and it's the National Association on Mental Illness. They have groups where you can actually call in and talk to other people experiencing the same kind of or similar situations. It is hugely beneficial. I have a friend who I turned on to NAMI because she's having an issue with her daughter right now and didn't know where to turn. And she's really loving that community. So there's stuff out there. You just need to reach out. You need to take care of yourself and get what you need so that you can be in a better place to help others.
Excellent. Excellent words. I appreciate you so much for joining us, and I appreciate you even more for the steps you've made to bring your own story to light in order to try to help those around you. And let's face it, to help heal yourself as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you so much. It has been fascinating. Unfortunately, we're coming down to the end of the show. There's never enough time to actually get to all the topics you want to cover in these interviews. So I want to schedule a follow-up with you down the road to check in, see how book sales are going, to talk more about your personal experiences, and to just generally check in with you to see how you're doing in the future as well.
I would love that. Thank you.
And thank you. That's all the time we've got today for the Community Connection. My guest has been Paulina Milana, author of Committed, A Memoir of Madness in the Family. This is in honor of May being Mental Health Awareness Month. Please, if you or someone you know are having issues with mental illness, seek help, seek treatment, or at least talk to somebody. And in any condition, get online, seek out this book. It will do you some good. Again, Paulina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy. Have a good one.
You too. And for the rest of our listeners out there, if you'd like to hear this episode of Community Connection or any other past episodes, they are archived online on our website at WFIWradio.com. Simply click on the About Us tab at the top of the page, and in the drop-down menu, select Community Connection. Again, for myself, for my guest, Paulina Milana, and for the rest of the Community Connection crew here at WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM, here's wishing you great mental health and a great rest of your day.